Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How does one best negotiate a science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, career? Let's go in depth with Professors Russ Goodman and Elizabeth Golovatsky with Central College. So, Elizabeth, why did you go into physics?
I went into physics, I think because I really love solving problems. You know, I was one of those kids that wanted to be an astronaut. And when I discovered I was too short for NASA, I started thinking about science instead. So I wanted to be an astronomer. And then being the little research nerd that I am, I discovered that the best way to do that was to study physics as an undergrad and then maybe specialize in grad school. And then when I got to college, I just fell in love with physics and I never left.
And Russ, how did you get into math?
Well, a lot of what Liz shares actually was me too, right? I wanted to be an astronaut, realized that I get motion sickness, so that wasn't going to work out too well. But I did end up starting off as a physics major, took the first couple classes and I did fine, enjoyed them, did not enjoy the people around me or the professors with whom I was in class. And I think this kind of connects to our talk last night. I just didn't feel like I belonged there. I just wasn't enjoying myself. But I did realize that the mathematics classes I was in, I enjoyed the friends I was studying with. I by and large enjoyed the professors that I had and kept going with it and found that I had a pretty good aptitude for it, even beyond just sort of the intro level classes, and just fell in love and continued on.
Well, that's interesting. You didn't like the personalities of the people in physics. Is that it?
I think Liz will probably smile and nod. I mean, they were mean. And it wasn't, it was really sort of egregious mean. It wasn't just like, we're going to put you through the crucible of learning and you'll, come out with astounding knowledge about how the way the universe works. It was just like demeaning mean. And that's just not a place I wanted to be. And I could control where I was going to be. So I left.
Okay. And Liz, you're thriving in that domain, huh?
I'm really stubborn. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I'm really stubborn. I've seen and experienced a great deal of what Russ is talking about. Yeah. And at some point I just decided I didn't care. I was going to do it anyway. I've never had the experience of like being the popular person. So I came in with like nothing to lose to begin with. I got really lucky that I had one really, really good professor who kind of, took me under his wing, because some of the others weren't great. And, the students that I was with were not particularly nice either.
Yeah.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about STEM careers with Professors Russ Goodman and Elizabeth Golovatsky. Well, this has just taken the most fascinating turn. We were going to talk about STEM fields, and we still will, science, technology, engineering, and math, but we're into sort of the sociology of it. And this is probably really important to talk about too, because neither of you gave up. You found your route to do science.
Yeah, I found my route in mathematics. I did end up earning a minor in physics. I continued to take a few more classes to earn a minor, and found that the further on I went, at least to finish that minor, I actually did have some enjoyable experiences. But I think in the end, I just didn't love the discipline enough to make it worth being as stubborn as Liz is, I guess, if that makes sense. I enjoyed physics. I didn't love it enough to want to stay in that, and ended up, finding a home in mathematics. And yeah, a lot of our talk last night, I think did focus a bit on what felt like sociological things for two non-social scientists.
And the talk you were referring to is a Zoom talk that you gave to, you know, whoever wanted to come about the importance of STEM. And can you tell us why STEM is important? I mean, we all sort of, we've heard it so many years now, we sort of know it. Refresh us.
I'll respond from the standpoint, you know, obviously I think Liz and I are going to come from our own sort of disciplinary backgrounds, but in mathematics, and my sense is really in STEM in general, it's about exploring and discovering. In mathematics, there are patterns in the world around us, patterns that are abstract and not in the world around us, but only on paper and in our minds that that are just beautiful to explore. And so there's also a lot of creativity to that. And so someone should be interested, for example, in mathematics because they'll learn more about how to think about how the world works, identify some of the patterns in the world around us, but also to be sort of critical in productive ways, but critical and questioning of the things around us and wondering how they work. And so that's, I'll hand that off to Liz because I bet you she can run with that pretty easily too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, very much in terms of like, you know, how do things work? How does the universe put together? You know, what can we make it do? I mean, a whole lot of technology, you know, I mean, has at its heart, you know, a lot of physics. I know a good number of PhD physicists who work for tech companies, who work for Google, who work for Seagate, who work for IBM, you know, places like that, because, you know, you can't build something without knowing how it works, especially if you're going to be trying to build something new. And so there's, you know, there's just so much out there to see, and, you know, new discoveries happening. I don't know why people wouldn't want to be a part of that. And, you know, I mean, just to get to a straight up practical standpoint, I mean, there are jobs there. There's jobs there. And on average, they take longer to fill than non-STEM related jobs. And so from a strict, you know, from a strictly kind of economic standpoint, it is, you know, worth the effort to, you know, get students interested in this.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about STEM careers with Professors Russ Goodman and Elizabeth Golovatsky. Now, how does one get from the point intellectually from memorizing things in physics and in math, going through the motions of solving problems, to going beyond that, to being able to answer questions or even to come up with the questions? How does one go beyond that? Does it just come with a certain, once you attain a certain amount of knowledge, does it just happen magically?
I think a lot of that has to do, you know, again, we talked a lot about relationships last night. And I think some of that has to do with those mentoring relationships that we have. And that if you have somebody who, you know, while you're going through that learning process, is, you know, helping to push you just a little bit further and hold your hand just a little bit less as you go and gives you that space while still, you know, being there to help you. It, at least for me, it felt kind of like an organic process.
And I think I would go, I would agree with that. And I would go a little more broadly, I guess, that even if there's not necessarily a, you know, mentoring or a fostering relationship, I think, in all of the STEM fields, they're sort of a requisite baseline set of knowledge. You know, if you want to do mathematics, yeah, you need to be able to do calculus, you know, or you need to be able to do algebra, excuse me. But at a certain point, the educational system needs to continue to help students understand that it is creative and there's exploration to do. And it's not just rote solving equations and, okay, let's solve another one. But it's as a teacher, as a professor, asking students, okay, what different approaches can we bring to solving this problem? And giving students then space to explore and to come up with their own path, that, you know, that our job then is to help steer that path a little bit, you know, and to at least be somewhat of an arbiter of what's valid or not. And like Liz said, eventually, you know, be holding their hands while we have that conversation, but gradually let go and empower the students to be their own arbiter of what seems to be valid or not, based on how much they've been learning along the way.
What does it feel like when the students have that, or when you have that aha moment where you finally figure something out? What's it like for you? And then also when you see this, when you see it click with the students?
Okay, well, so I go back to grad school where I spent a good year trying to solve this problem just to get back to the point where I was reproducing a graph out of somebody else's paper. Because if I did that, that meant my code was good and I could go in a new direction with it. But I spent a year perfecting it and getting it right. And so the day that I got the graph and it had all the right curves in all the right places, I was so overjoyed. It was one of the happiest days of my life. And my advisor used to say that was the point where you realized you were where you were supposed to be, was when the high that you got from figuring something out was worth all the trouble that it took to get there. And so I can see that in my students sometimes, especially in these upper level classes, where they're solving something really complicated, where they don't have the intuition for it. Like I said, I'm teaching quantum this semester. They do not have the intuition for that. But when they get there, it's like it feels to them like they've just won a battle, and they find it amazing.
Oh, there's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like the notion of thinking about some patterns that you've been working on or some sort of example, and realizing that your brain was able to organize it and that you were able to articulate it. And it's almost like maybe sort of like taming a wild animal where you've got this idea that's in your head and you can't quite organize it, and your brain's working on it and it's working on it. And then eventually it clicks and you're able on paper to in a mathematical way, articulate it. Here are my variables. Here are the rules that govern the world that I'm trying to create or explore. And man, you just feel, I mean, you kind of feel powerful. It's pretty cool, you know? So there's nothing like it. And you know, I miss that a bit because I don't do as much research here at Central, but I have students that do research, and I sort of bask in that reflected glory when I see students learn something or control something that they weren't able to control before. I sort of bask in that reflected glory because I know what it feels like. I've been through that. It's fun to see students have that for maybe the first time in their life.
Okay, Liz, final last word to you. Any advice for people considering a STEM career?
I think a lot of it really does come down to finding your people. It really does. You know, finding that professor who makes you feel welcome, finding the other students who you can work with. Because, you know, it's really hard to stay in love with the field when it feels like people don't want you there. And I'll sometimes see it with my own students. And so, you know, I have students who are some who are my advisees and some who are not even, but I will just kind of pick them up and try to take them under my wing as much as possible, because there's a lot of people who have a lot of potential who don't feel like it. And so, you know, find somebody who will listen to you. And it sounds weird talking about that in that way, right? Because, you know, we're talking about this like scientific, technical career, but, you know, those personal relationships matter just as much.
Thanks to Professors Russ Goodman and Elizabeth Golovatsky for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.